Christian Parenting.
This is Cynthia Yanoff, and you're listening to Pardon the Mess. Each week, we have honest discussions about the ups and downs of parenting and the lessons God is teaching us along the way. It's real, it's fun, and it's biblical. Life is messy. Don't walk the parenting road alone. Hey guys, welcome to Pardon the Mess. I am so thankful that you are with us. I am especially thankful this time of year, every time someone listens, because I know how crazy it can be. Oh my goodness, in May, like all the end of year things, the art shows, the band shows, I have both of those today, the pony parade. What's the pony parade, you ask? Well, I will tell you. Apparently there's some sort of parade where you decorate a stick pony for your child in kindergarten. Oh, it's going to be a sad, sad pony for JB Yanoff, because nobody is less capable of artistic projects than I am. And so that'll be a real sad day. It'll look like he's riding a donkey or something by the time I'm finished. But it's all those things this time of year. And I can't help but think back to like August. Like, didn't the school year just start? It goes so fast. And if you don't have kids in school yet, it's coming. And it goes by so fast. It's unbelievable. In fact, my daughter just called and she just finished her last final in college. So she's officially done, which now makes her a junior in college. And when I tell you that we just graduated this girl from high school and we just moved her into her dorm, it feels like, and now she's a junior. It's unbelievable. And so I'm just over here reminiscing. I'm fine, everyone. It's fine. Everybody's fine. I'm fine. But I am glad you're here today, because we're talking with Lisa Whittle. And Lisa Whittle is an author, and she is a speaker and a podcaster and all the things. And we're just talking about the realities of how Sunday morning meets our Mondays. Like, how do we really encounter God? And we have all this head knowledge that we understand about who God is, but what does that look like and how does that impact what we're dealing with on Mondays? And she has some really practical stuff to talk about. Dreams we have in our life, dreams versus goals, when we need to let go of some dreams. Maybe some of those places where we're struggling with some anger, resentfulness, like what does payback look like as Christians? And I know that's a funny thing to even consider, but I love that she's talking about that today. And so it's a great conversation. I'm thankful that Lisa Whittle joined us. I'm really thankful that you're here. And so here we go. Hey, Lisa, welcome to Pardon the Mess. How are you?
Thank you. I'm fine. Thanks.
First time on here. I can't believe that.
I know. I'm excited about it.
Well, me too. We met. Do you remember this? I was at a thing at your like conference center. Maybe how long ago was that? Maybe 6 or 8 months ago. Do you remember that? And you and Allie Worthington were speaking and doing a conference deal.
Yes. I actually thought you looked super familiar. So I do remember. Yes.
Yes. And so we met there and you, have like the coolest, I don't know what to call it. It's not a back house. What is it? Is it a little conference space? What is it? It's awesome. Whatever it is.
It's a barn and that we've converted into ministry space. So yeah.
Okay. It's amazing. And so I got to go and be a part of something with a publisher that I'm working with right now. And it was super fun. And so I got to meet you there. And so now we get to talk again. And this is fun. And I'm so glad you're here. We're going to like let this first portion of the podcast be sponsored by like the things that are annoying me at the moment. And so like, you'll get used to it. That's just the randomness, Lisa, of how we operate over here. And so I'm going to tell you what I'm annoyed by. And then you're going to tell me what you're annoyed by. Is that a deal?
Sure.
And not just like, I mean, we're not talking our life's grievances. I'm just saying at the moment, this is what's annoying me. So are you ready? You and I both have, I think I remember this from meeting you before, you have a kiddo in college, right?
Right.
And what are your other ages?
Well, I have two in college and then one that's married. He's 25. So 25, 22, and 20.
Well, I have, older kids too, but I also have a little one that we adopted. And so our youngest is in kindergarten and he is a star student this week. And this is leading into what's annoying me. And I love these star students, Lisa. I love that our teachers do this and that like they're seen and they're recognized and all that. But we know in kindergarten, first grade, elementary school, when it's a big project, I'm air quoting it, and a big privilege for our kids, who's actually going to do the work, right?
Yes.
I'm going to do it. Yes. And so because I waited to the last minute, yes, I did. You know, I did. I waited to the very last minute and it was Sunday night when I realized, oh, it's Star Student Week. They told me in September. I forgot. We were out of town. We get back. I'm printing out the photos off my phone, right? At whatever time they're going to the place to pick him up. I have to go late at night. Lisa, I printed even pictures for his poster that he wasn't in the photo. Okay. Like that's how bad I am at this. And so we get through day one. Yesterday we had to fill out our favorites chart. What are our favorites? I don't know what his favorite book is. He didn't care to tell me. I made something up. And so today, which leads me to my annoyances, today it was bring your favorite toy. You know that his favorite toy didn't have batteries in it, right? And you know, we're late for school and you know, he's not going without that favorite toy that is remote control and nobody's here but me. I can't get the batteries out. So we did all that. And so I think my annoyance is my inability at my age now, and I'm not that old, to multitask and be in front of things and be on top of it. And I blame that on nobody but myself. It's not his fault. It's surely not the teachers. They're trying to do something precious. Why? Why can I not get it together? So that's my annoyance of today. And that's just like the drop in the bucket of things. And I'm like, why? Get it together. Why is it suddenly harder for me? So that's where I am in life. Can you relate? What is your annoyance? That's where I leave you, Lisa.
Have you guys heard of the online learning program called IXL? My kids were actually required to do IXL as a part of their school, and they would roll their eyes when it was time. But I think they would tell you years later, and I would tell you, that it really worked and it helped them so much. They received the help they needed in subjects where they were struggling. And I know other parents at our school that used it for their kids that are ahead and they weren't getting challenged enough in the classroom. IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum and your child's classroom learning. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting it to each child. It meets them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to be curious and empowers them to choose how to learn. And the best part is IXL is easy for parents. Don't we need that? One site gets you all you need, and IXL customizes learning for each child in your family and their specific needs. IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, and it makes it simple to find activities for the exact skills that you are covering. It also offers instant feedback and explanations of the topics as the kids use the program, which is super helpful. So you can feel confident as a parent that your kids will gain an understanding of the skills they are learning. Make an impact today on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And pardon the mess, listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. You probably know Avocado Green Mattress for their certified organic mattresses. I've been talking about that lately, but did you know they also make unbelievably breathable natural bedding? From soft organic cotton sheets to light as air silk and lofty down duvets, their bedding is designed to naturally regulate your temperature and keep you cool, comfy, and sleeping soundly all night long. So listen up, hot sleepers, this one's for you. This bedding is perfect for hot sleepers in warmer months. Hello, Texas summer. Avocado sheets and duvet inserts are naturally breathable and they help regulate your temperature so you can sleep cool, dry, and comfortable all night long. And just like those mattresses, avocado bedding is crafted from renewable, biodegradable materials with the highest social and environmental standards. So it's better for you and better for the planet. And beyond that sustainability, this bedding is designed to deliver luxurious comfort that will have you looking forward to crawling into your bed every night. Head on over to avocadomattress.com to save 10% on all bedding and 50% on clearance bedding. Avocado, dream of better.
Oh boy. Well, that's quite a runway for me. I'm never short on annoyances, to be honest. I can get annoyed in a hurry. My family could attest to that, but I think an annoyance for me at this moment is anything that involves too much noise. I'm a person that doesn't enjoy a lot of noise. So I have an office that is pretty isolated, actually. It's to itself. There's nobody else that comes in this little space. It's like a 12 by 12, and it's actually not in my home. It's outside of my home. So I've kind of set it up for myself where I'm in here by myself. You could hear a pin drop most of the time in here because I write and create in a space that's very, very quiet. I don't understand people who, you know, go to Starbucks and they yes. write books and things like that. I mean, kudos to them, but I can't have that noise at all. But what I get really annoyed by is we have a dear neighbor that lives behind us, and it seems as though that they are always coordinating with my schedule, or miscoordinating with my schedule, I should say, to where when I'm about to do an interview, they typically start to blow their leaves or blow whatever manner of grass they've yes. just mowed or whatever, because it's not fall. So now it's mostly like we live in a pretty wooded environment yeah. here, and they have a lot of trees as well, but they have just a lot of debris and everything. And so, they start to blow whatever is in their yard as soon as I start to do an interview. And then I have to just hold it. I just have to hold until or reschedule or whatever the case may be. So mm-hmm. that's my current annoyance. Really anything yeah. that has to do with a lot of noise annoys me at this juncture, and I'm not really sure why.
That is awesome. Okay, well, there you have it. There's your annoyance. And by the way, that happens to me too. I feel like there's a window right next to my office in my house where we tape. And yeah, it's either blowing the leaves or the new roof. We've got a new roof going on right now across the street. And I'm like, ooh, good times. That's nice and loud. But well, that's where we are in life, everyone. I know everyone's got their annoyances, first world problems for sure. But we're just keeping it honest over here today. And it kind of does, though, lead into what you're talking about right now. And just God knows. And that's the title of your book. But also, I'm going to read the byline: when your worries and whys need more than temporary relief. And you said something in the beginning of your book, somewhere at the beginning that I read, talking about, and it was like really not meant to be a profound statement, but for some reason it hit me profound, talking about how God knows our routines. Like he literally knows, like, hey, every morning I go by Starbucks. Actually, I don't. I'm a Diet Coke drinker, but I go by Starbucks, or, you know, you stop in the Sonic. Like he knows kind of what is etched into our days and our routines. And I thought, that's strangely comforting to me that he knows my routines. And I don't know why that is. I mean, I think that makes common sense that he would know that, but to really think about that, not only does he know, but he cares about him. I think there's something in that that resonated with me. So start us off with that. Like this whole notion of God knowing, why is that? Why is that so important that we remember that?
I'm glad you brought up that, what might seem like an obscure point at first glance, but I felt was really important for us to understand, because as we go through life, you know, if we're Christians, if we're believers in Jesus, we might hear this really heady word, omniscience, and think, okay, maybe I've learned that along the way. And that's one of the reasons I provide definitions in my book, so we understand what that actually means. God's intimate knowledge of things past, present, and future. But what that means for our daily life, I think sometimes is overlooked. And it's a very precious reality that God knows about your very mundane routines, or what seem to be very mundane, because if God knows about everything and the totality of the world, which I think is what we often think of that when we think of the world word God knows, we think, okay, God knows everything that's going on in this world. And so that helps us in our overwhelm. But I think sometimes it's this idea that God knows the intimacies of our lives, which we don't major on, but is very important for us to understand, because it does then help us understand that that beautiful relationship that we have with the Lord, that it's not just about God managing all the big things, but it is about God knowing all your little things. And for me, many times in my life, I think I've felt perhaps lonelier in those little places. Mm-hmm. Where does God see me today? Mm-hmm. As I am, you know, in my room thinking these thoughts, feeling this way, feeling like no one else understands, not knowing how to deal with my child in this certain situation, or, you know, in a relationship that I'm in or whatever. And so I wanted that to ground us very early on in this book, to remind us, by the way, as you're numbly driving through the drive-thru at Starbucks to get your daily latte, God knows about that. Mm. God knows about you. He knows about your routine that you kind of ignore every day. And in that, He cares and sees.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's good. I think that's just a reminder that, that you're not going to get all the time. That was profound to me. I'm like, okay, He does care. And I think that especially helps us, because it's in the midst of those little places so often that we find great worry. Now, of course, like when there's the catastrophic going on or whatever, of course, I feel like, you know, I know that God sees it and He's with me and all that. But what about like just when the worry's creeping in, the smaller things? Maybe it's the worry that you're like, oh my gosh, there's huge things going on in the world, and what I'm worrying about is almost nothing. But it's still my worry, and God still cares in that. And so I'm wondering, you talk a little bit about this, and I've heard you speak into this, but how do we get between that huge chasm between this head knowledge of knowing that God is for us and He's with us and He loves us and we can trust Him, the head knowledge of that, and the practicalities of I'm living in a season, maybe a lifetime, but for many of us, a season of really, really significant worry, whether that's big or small. How do we line those two up practically?
Yeah. Well, this is the rub of our life, right? Because we can learn things and we can know things and we can acknowledge things, living them in a reality way. The daily existence is tough. I don't know that there's a magic answer to say, well, this is exactly what you have to do. People's personality plays into it. It depends on exactly what we are facing. But what I do know is that all of our methods to try to manage our worry don't typically work, and they are at the very best temporary. So, you know, we get into this mode where we're worried about our children. We're worried about the future of our kids. We're worried about the future of the world. We're worried about our finances, whatever the case may be. And so we immediately try to come up with a solution by which to ease that worry. And that momentary ease might work. You might for a moment feel some better. But what I've found in my own life is that the way to have more than just that temporary moment is to understand the actual character of God, which is why I decided to dive into His omniscience. The interesting thing about it, Cynthia, is that we spend most of our lives trying to come up with methods, trying to understand ourselves more, and trying to, you know, basically just control our world and our environment. We have spent so much time doing that. And at the end of the day, we're still just as worried. And in my own life, and I very much speak to that because that's been kind of my reality, I know that the one thing that has helped ease my heart in moments of tragedy and moments of pain and moments of hardship have not been the steps 1, 2, 3 necessarily that I've tried to enact in my life, but it is the remembrance of God and who He is, because His omniscience is covering our entire existence. And that for us is the place that we end up resting if we mm-hmm. want more than just temporary relief. So it's something that we have to come to and realize, I'm not going to actually understand this. I'm actually going to learn more about the person who does understand everything and realize he's covering my life and he's controlling my life in many ways. Now, we all have free will, but and what I call agency, which I talk about in the book, but he knows everything about what's going on with me. And in that, he also leads me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you say this, you talk about, there's this balance between what we know to be true about life and mm-hmm. what we know to be true about God.
Yes.
And that leads me to think we've got to be really excellent students of God. And for many of us, we grew up in church, like maybe I did. And I know I feel like I have a lot of head knowledge of God, but yet there is that balance, because the further along you get in life, right, you've seen a lot more tragedy. You've experienced more, there's more pain. And so there's this balancing act of, what am I going to believe? Like, I've got to line up the truth of what I'm seeing in life with the truth of what I know about God. And when I line those up, then I've got a decision to make. And am I going to trust God even when it doesn't make sense in life? And I think there's this, as you're saying, it's just so interesting to turn this all over to God and to understand his omniscience and to understand he's so big and huge and understands it. Yet he is so in the details of you're going to Starbucks this morning and trying to process all that. So I just think what a huge topic to cover.
Yeah, it was a huge topic to cover. But, you know, as you were talking about what you know to be true about God versus what you know to be true about life, I even take it a step further than talking about balance, because it actually, what you know to be true about God actually on the scale has to tip the scale. It actually has to be more, because what I talk about there is at some point in life, what you know to be true about life, in other words, sort of the past that has informed you, you know, mm-hmm. this has happened in my life. This is the trauma I've gone through. These are the trials. This is, you know, where I've traveled in life. And this is what has informed me. In those two things, that, and then what you know to be true about God, where God has been faithful to you and where God has come through for you and where God has been your safe space. Those two things are going to come into conflict. And at some point, you're going to say, well, here's what I know to be true about life. Here's what I know to be true about God. And if you don't have a more profound experience with what you know to be true about God, you're going to really struggle. You're probably going to struggle anyway, because we're, as humans, we struggle when we go through something hard in life. But you've got to know, what you know to be true about God has to be the more profound experience in your life. And that's why, even take it another step further to say, that's why we can't settle for things that mimic the full experience and the fullness of Christ in life. We can't settle for those things, because they will fool us into thinking that they're enough. And when crisis hits, they won't be enough. Yeah. That's why we have to have this real experience. And that's why discipleship, if you want to even go a little bit further down the rabbit hole, discipleship in churches is so important, because we have to disciple our people to let them know, this is actually what you need over here. The fullness of Christ in the middle of crisis versus what you know to be true about life, so that the scales will tip in those moments. And you say, no, you know what? This is true about life. This is a reality. Mm-hmm. And yet what I know to be true about God is what I'm clinging to, because it's been more profound in my life, even despite.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking of the scales of justice, which is so nerdy, but my former lawyer's coming out, and just this whole idea of the scales of justice. And like, you know, there's facts and there's law, and the law is a tipping point. Like it's always going to, that wins the balance. And so I'm thinking out this, like God wins over experience. And you were saying things that mimic the true experience of God. Like, what are some of those things? I mean, I can list a few in my life for sure, many in my life, sadly, but what are the things that we're buying into? What are those things that are mimicking this real experience of God that will let us down when the hard comes?
Yeah, I think there anything that gives you that sort of momentary fullness, right? So it might be something as extreme as an addictive thing. Like it might be some form of, you know, it might be alcohol, might be prescription drugs. I mean, you even go to that extreme, but it might even be the high you get from your perfectionism, or the high you get from some kind of, controlling your world, or, you know, the way that you get this high from even putting on this false sense of being a good Christian, all of those things can mimic this experience that you have, that mimic the fullness of Christ, because for a moment they fill you. For a moment they meet some kind of need within you. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, that's why people have affairs. That's why people do all manner of things. That's why we do the behaviors that we do, food. I mean, it's all of those things. Like, they fill us for a moment, or we wouldn't do them. But they mimic the fullness of Christ, the actual true fullness of Christ. Yeah. And yeah. so they don't do us any favors ultimately, because they fool us into thinking that they're enough, but they're just temporary relief.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
All right, friends, I'm jumping in here for just a minute to help you think about summer. I don't know about you, but I get real tired real fast of the I'm bored, there's nothing to do, all those things. But as Christian parents, we do want to keep our kids active. We also want to make sure they're getting the right things in their life. And so there's more and more challenges trying to figure out what we want our kids to listen to. This is a great resource, you guys. It's called Adventures in Odyssey Club, and it's for Christian parents and giving us lots of access to hundreds of hours of faith-based content that's fun, it's stimulating, but really more than anything, it helps them grow in their spiritual walk with the Lord, which is something we all need this time of year. And so the club membership comes with up to 10 unique user profiles, so everyone in your house can enjoy these episodes, the videos, the other content at their own pace. This Adventures in Odyssey Club has been going for 35 years. And they always add new episodes monthly. And so it's not like you're going to get bored with that. Your kids aren't going to get bored. So try it. You can get a free trial by going to adventuresinodyssey.com/pardonthemess.
Okay, so I'm going to switch gears a little bit as we're still talking through this. But another really key concept that you write about and that I think you're passionate about is just dreams. Like, and not like I went to bed and I had a dream last night. Maybe sometimes that's it, but literally, like, what are our passions, the dreams we have for our life? And you have a quote, dreaming about life is a sign that we're still in it. And so how does this play into what we're talking about, and why is it important? Because especially, Lisa, as moms, I know we can shove down our dreams, right? We can shove down the things, and that feels selfish, or it feels unnecessary, or maybe for another day. But why do we need to think about that?
Well, you know, dreams are hugely important. For one thing, as you just mentioned, you know, I think dreams are a sign that we're still in it with our life. And one of the things that has begun to happen as the world has gotten more and more chaotic, dreams have sort of gone out the window because it's felt indulgent. It's yeah. felt like the last thing on the list. Like, I don't have time to dream. I'm just in survival mode. And I get that. But what I'd like to propose to people is that it's not an either or, it's a both and. You know, needs are real, as I say in the book, and dreaming is a form of self-care. So it's one of those things where, you know, as you're going through life, if you live your life devoid of dreams, which are, you know, aspirations, places that you want to be, growth spots. I mean, it really is sort of this hope for the future. You know, if you live your life and you think that in some way you don't need to have that, I would just propose to you that you are living a very, very limited life. You're living a very boxed in life, because, you know, the fact that we all still have breath in our bodies is a sign that we have possibility. And so why it's important in the context of God's omniscience and God knowing is that your dreams are something that God knows about, and he's been in them with you and before you, right? Because he knows all things about you. And one of the things I felt very important to talk about in the context of dreams is, you know, where does God play a role? Because a lot of people want to know, is this my dream? Is this God's dream? Does he care about them? Does he endorse them? All of those things. And, you know, as Christians, we sort of have this obsession with the whole dreams and doors analogy, and God's opened a door and God's closed a door and all those things. So I actually started researching it and saying, you know, where do doors play into this? Where does opportunity play in? And I found it, you know, to be very interesting, because he is the ultimate dream giver. And yet, you know, he actually calls himself in scripture the door. And so all of that sort of plays into this whole thing of, you need dreams for your life. God wants you to have dreams for your life, but he also wants them rooted in the ultimate the ultimate call on your life, which is to use your gifts for the glory of God. And so those things need to line up. And I talk all about that in the book.
Yeah. Yeah. And so a couple quick highlights, give us a little thumbnails on this. When do we need to let a dream live? And when do we need to let a dream die? And I know that's a specific question, but I know that's one of the things that you cover. Give us a little brief thought on that.
Well, I give a whole list of when dreams need to die. And those include things like, you know, if this is something that's really someone else's dream for you, that I would put that on the list. Like that dream probably needs to die. So if it's much more about pleasing someone else, I also give a distinction between a dream and a goal. And that's something really, really important and give a lot of context around that so people can make that distinction. Cause that's a new concept for a lot of folks where we're asking this question, is this something that your heart still longs for? Or is this a goal that you once had that you just can't let it go because you're just being a bulldog about it. A lot of times we have goals in our life, Cynthia, that we just simply don't want to let go of because we've had this goal for 15.2 years, right? Mm-hmm. And we just can't let that goal go, but our heart doesn't even want it anymore. It's not even a dream, right? And so I make that distinction and help people pull that apart. Those are some things that are really, really important. And I also challenge us to look at it in context of our life's mission, which if you're a believer is in Matthew 28, which is to go and make disciples. You know, does it line up with that? I'm not saying every dream has to have Bible verses attached to it. What I'm saying is it shouldn't contradict it. It shouldn't contradict mm-hmm. it in any way. If it contradicts your life mission, which is, by the way, the same life mission for every believer in Jesus Christ, then I would take a hard look at it. And yeah. see what it is and see why you're dreaming something up that basically by giving your life to the Lord, you've made a different commitment. I would take a look at it.
Yeah. Okay. It's a good word. Okay. And something else caught my eye as I was going through a lot of the materials in your book and all that. You talk about payback, the three P's of payback. Now that's interesting. Let's talk about that for a minute. We might be right back into the things that annoy us before this is all said and done, but talk payback with me for a minute.
Don't tempt me. Yeah. The three P's of payback. This is really, really important. Pause, pray, ponder. I think, you know, those seem really simple if only we would do them. I share in there my own story about when I wanted to pay someone back for some rumors they started about my family. It didn't work out too well for me. I was a young woman. I didn't have much sense, I will say, but that's no excuse. I can get a little bit feisty and the Lord's worked on me a lot with that since that time. But, you know, I often have thought if I had taken my own advice, if I had had the sense to have that my own advice at that point, for those three P's, it would have gone a lot better. I mean, you know, most of us make really rash decisions in the first one. We don't even pause. We react. And so someone makes us mad on social media. We don't pause. We don't pray about it. We don't sleep on it. We don't take any time. We just, our fingers start typing so fast. And before we know it, we have said something that now excommunicates us from Christmas dinner, right? So it's right. One of those things that, you know, is super important. There is a very real place inside of us that wants to set the record straight. One of the most, I may not be the top person in this world that wants justice for things, but I've got to be in the top 10 because I'm a very justice driven person. I want things to be right. I want vindication for things. But what I know is that the Lord has been working on me a lot with this to say, Lisa, I know what happened. Mm-hmm. I was there. I saw it. And the belief that if not today, that one day mm-hmm. he will make all wrongs right. And I have to tell you that maybe more than anything else, that's helped me sleep at night. You know, mm-hmm. I firmly believe, Cynthia, that injustice might be the very thing that makes us need to cling to God's omniscience more than anything else. Because if God doesn't know what has happened that is wrong, mm-hmm. then boy, we've got a lot of things that we are going to wrestle with for the rest of our life and perhaps go to the grave with. But if he does, then we know that at some point that just God, and we know that he is just according to the word, that just God is going to make things right. We don't know how he'll do it, but he will do it. He's already promised that.
Yeah. Yeah. It reminds me, I was reading Psalm 17 last night before I went to bed, and it's a prayer of David. And he says this, "Hear me, Lord, my plea is just. Listen to my cry. Hear my prayer. It does not rise from deceitful lips." But this is the part I love. "Let my vindication come from you. May your eyes see what is right." And I mean, that's just David walking through a hard time and just saying like, listen, you be the vindication, right? Like your eyes see it, let it come from you. And I think that's just such a good reminder that if he's in the details and if he's omniscient and he's as big as he is over our dreams and the things we struggle through, then he's also there to vindicate, and he sees. And that's, I think that's, that does, like you said, helps you sleep at night.
It also helps. Yeah. It also helps with our children, because I can tell you that, you know, with my own kids, that message of God saw that, God knows about that. Mm-hmm. When they've been in a place where they felt that something was unfair, I shared about this. Actually, I had my son share. We did a show together called Joe Generations that we released to people who pre-order the book. And one of the things, he's 22 now, but one of the things that he really, really wrestled with was something that happened to him when he was in high school. Mm-hmm. And it was one of these situations where there was a wrong. He felt very, done wrong about it and couldn't make things right. And we talked about this openly on the show, and he shed tears. He said she shed big grown men tears at this point at 22, but it just affects us in these ways. And so the idea for our kids that we can assure them, God will make mm-hmm. things right. God will set the record straight, even if you cannot. I'm going to tell you that has helped me so much in my parenting, because mm-hmm. I can't promise them that I can make it right. I can't promise them that it will be right in some kind of system. Mm-hmm. But what I can promise them is that God will make it right. And I have to tell you, that's been really important.
Yeah. And I think if you can buy into that notion, if you can believe that notion, it will really transform how you do things. It keeps me from going down to school and complaining when I want to, or for calling another mom or things that I'm not in the habit of doing. But I'm saying I could be the one who wants to jump in and try to manipulate and maneuver and defend every single thing. And I don't have to. And so, you know, there is a time and a place to do that, but more often than not, like you're saying, I'm going to go back and say, let's pause, pray, and ponder about these things before we jump right in. Let's end with this: approval versus apology. Talk mm-hmm. to us about that.
Well, that's huge because there's a difference. I mean, there are times we need to apologize to people for things we've done to them. You know, I tell you, you want to talk about something that gets under my skin. You know, when people aren't willing to own the ways that they need mm-hmm. to apologize for things, you know, that I think that causes so much further wounding. So I'm a big fan of apology. I'm a big fan of apology. What I'm not a big fan of is what I call in the book, pitching ourselves to people, where it literally becomes like being a salesperson. Where we're like, hey, I'm new and improved. Can you, you know, do you want to buy into me? You know, hey, look, everybody else, look at my reviews. Everybody else says I'm good. And it becomes like this whole process that we get into where we are pitching ourselves to people constantly for their approval. Hmm. And so I think it's important, and I felt it really important to say, here's the difference between apology and approval. And please, please, please hear the difference, because if you go through your life and you don't understand the difference between these two things, you are going to be in a state of constantly pitching yourselves to people who at the end of the day may or may not ever accept you, may or may not ever, you know, love you, and you're going to have a miserable existence. And I would dare say that there are a lot of people who need to hear that word.
Absolutely. And I think we've all lived this, and I've lived this, Lisa, like that's putting power in someone else's hands and taking it right out of my Savior's. And I'm not going to release power that way. Like the Lord gets to determine if I'm right? If I'm wrong, he will avenge where necessary. And he's already given me approval. And so I just think that's a strong word. And there's so much here, Lisa. There's so many good things that, and what I love about what you're doing here is you're just like taking the real life, hard, practical, and taking our Sunday morning knowledge into Monday. And so thanks mm-hmm. for that. And everyone, the book is called God Knows When Your Worries and Whys Need More Than Temporary Relief. And it is available in all the usual spots. Lisa, where else can people find you? What else do you want to tell us about?
Well, lisawhittle.com has pretty much everything you could ever want there. Podcast information, speaking information. I have a Bible study coming out with this same book in October. And free stuff. I mean, soup to nuts, it's all there.
Awesome. So glad you're here. Come back and visit. And thank you for doing this today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. I hope that that gave you some things to think about, especially as we're going into the summer. How do we make sure that we're spending time with God, that we're really doing the things that we're called to do? We don't have the head knowledge, but that we actually use the heart knowledge and implement it. We're going to need it this summer with everybody home and all the chaos. And so thank you to Lisa Whittle for being here. And then you guys always thank you for being a part of this show. And so we know your days are busy as always. Thank you for joining us. It was Pardon the Mess.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.